As Rachel said at the beginning, continuing in the series of readings, and many of us will have been reading another chunk of Hebrews this week, Hebrews 5:11 to 7:28, and what I'm going to be talking about is going to be drawn from that passage. But I just wanted to say, before we get into all of that, exciting though Hebrews is, and it is, exciting through all of these passages are, I really just want to bring us back to actually what Rachel said again at the beginning. This is all about knowing Jesus. Whatever the passage is, whether it's a passage that's simple or a passage that's a bit complex, and I think some of us might have found the passage this week, if we've read it through, maybe a bit complex, I don't know. We'll get into that in just a moment. The aim of it all is to know Jesus better. Well, to know Jesus, full stop. And wherever we're at this morning and gazing around the room, I don't know everyone here. So whether you don't know him right now, whether you've known him for a short time, whether you've known him for a great deal of time, to know him and know him better. That is the whole aim. The end of John's gospel, the writer John explains why he's written the stuff down that he's written in his gospel. And he says, these are written so you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. In the power of his name. The whole point is that we find life in Jesus. Jesus himself, when he was walking after the resurrection with the two guys on the road to Emmaus, it says that he spent time going through the scriptures that they had to explain to them that he was in all of those scriptures. And of course, the scriptures they had are what we have as our Old Testament. And in 2 Timothy, it says that we've been given scripture because it's useful to us to equip us. And at the heart of all of that is knowing Jesus. So, in everything we've read this week, and as you go on reading this next week, I just encourage you that we will find Jesus in the midst of all of it. Not just as an intellectual exercise, but actually in being drawn closer to him. So, my title today, it's always good to have a title. It gives them something to put on the website. Is Knowing Jesus, the Priest King. Now, that might sound, for some of us, like, well, what's all that about? And how has a priest and a king got anything to do with me? Well, hopefully, we'll come to a point of a bit more understanding of that. It is important for us, and how it's important for us in embracing who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So, the key passage. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, so talking about Abraham, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle, gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father and mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning nor end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but if you were reading that maybe for the first time this week, or maybe coming across this guy Melchizedek for the first time, as some of you will have seen this slide already, this may well have been your reaction. Melchizedek who? What's this got to do with me? Who is he? Why is the writer suddenly talking about this guy Melchizedek? Why is he important? What's this got to do with knowing Jesus? Why wasn't I taught about this guy alongside Abraham and Noah and David and all of the other Old Testament heroes? Why is he important? Is this something that's actually got anything to do with me? What's all this about tithes and priests? Well, let's just hit the pause button for a moment. Because we will come back to looking more detail about Melchizedek in just a moment. But I think there are two fundamental life questions that we can look at this morning. Here's these two fundamental questions. And I think they do face all of us at some point in time. And maybe Well, in fact, I would be really surprised if one of these questions wasn't facing some of us, many of us in the room right now, even today. And the two questions are this. First of all, am I okay? Am I okay? And secondly, is it all going to be okay? I'll just say those again. The two fundamental questions I think face each one of us at some point in time. And maybe don't just face it once, but they keep on coming back. Am I okay? And is it all going to be okay? Am I okay? Well, am I okay with myself? Am I okay in terms of my self-image? Am I okay in terms of the story I tell myself about myself? You understand what I mean? Am I okay in terms of the truth I believe about myself? Am I okay with other people? What do other people really think about me? What do other people say about me? And of course, the big one, if we believe in God, am I okay with God? What does he actually think about me? Does he think about me with pleasure? Or actually, is there a problem between us? Is he actually a bit cheesed off with me? Is he fed up with me? Is he angry with me? Does he condemn me? And the second question, is it all going to be okay? Well, there's so much, isn't there, in the news. If you read a newspaper, in your newspaper, if you look on a news feed, if you read Twitter, politics, environment, war, life generally. There's lots that can cause us to say, is it actually all going to be okay? There's a lot that could cause us to feel insecure, in a bit of a panic maybe. This was just this morning. This is the BBC World Service page on the BBC News website. Just a quick glance through that. There's been a terror attack in Paris. One person killed, others injured. 9 dead in Indonesia church bombings. North Korea vows to dismantle nuclear site. Well, it sounds like it's a good news story. Let's pray that it is. But there's lots in there that could cause us to feel a little bit worried as well. Round the world, cyclists murdered. Burundi village attack leaves 26 dead. We'll skip over Israel winning the Eurovision Song Contest. There's a lot there which could cause us to ask that question, is it all going to be okay? So, what's all that got to do with Melchizedek? What's Melchizedek and Abraham paying tithes and him being a king and a priest and all of that got to do with those fundamental life questions? Well, here we go. Melchizedek, there are 3 passages, just 3, that mention this guy. First of all, there's the account in Genesis that the writer of the Hebrews is referring to. We're not going to go through it now, but you can look it up, and if you take notes, that's where you'll find it. In Psalm 110, there's a passing reference, which seems to be kind of us eavesdropping on a conversation that's going on in heaven between the Father and the Son. The Lord said to my Lord, it's that psalm if you know that one. And it talks about someone being told, and strong argument that it's Jesus, that they are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And then there's the passage that we've been reading this week. That's it. And if you've been reading it this week, if you broke it up day by day, it's actually sometimes difficult to follow the thread of the argument. But actually in this passage, Hebrews 5, well actually from the end of chapter 4 through 5 really, and into 7, and it's quite a closely argued passage that the writer has got a particular thing in mind. And the main strand within that is with this argument to show that it is justifiable to call Jesus a high priest. Now, that was something that for the people it was originally written to was a big deal. It was very important. At first glance, you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with me? But just hang in there. So what is the argument? Well, here's the key points from the argument. Firstly, he points out that Abraham gave tribute, paid a tithe to Melchizedek. And actually, something I left off the slide, Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And the writer makes the point, okay, the greater will always bless the not so important, and the not so important will pay the tithe to the greater. So Melchizedek seems to be more important, greater than Abraham, even. He also points out that he is a king and a priest. Now, come back to that in just a moment, but that was a really big deal, because being a king, functioning as a king, and functioning as a priest, that was not normal. That wasn't the usual way things happened. And more to the point, Melchizedek, he is a king and a priest, but he is a priest who isn't from the usual family line that you would look for priests to be from. They had to be from the tribe of Levi, and more particularly from the family of Aaron. So he's a king and a priest. He's greater than Abraham. He's not from the usual priestly family, but he is a priest. And then there's this thing, he's fatherless, motherless, genealogyless, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. That apparently is the literal translation of what's written there. We can enter into a conversation about whether that last bit is supposed to be meant literally or whether it's supposed to be figurative. I'd probably argue for figurative, but it could just mean we're not told what his genealogy is. We're not told anything about his family background. But his priesthood is there and it exists. And the argument in terms of what one thing the writer was setting out to do is that if this could be true of Melchizedek, then it is also true of Jesus, even more so. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Now, some people looked at this passage and said, actually, maybe this character Melchizedek was actually Jesus in the Old Testament. And there are times in the Old Testament where people pop up and it's not actually always very clear who they are. And there's lots about them that make you look at them and go, actually, that seems a bit more like Jesus than just, quotes unquote, an angel. And this is another of these times. I don't think we need to necessarily believe that. I think it's acceptable to say, it's perfectly valid to say, this character Melchizedek is what theologians would call a type of Jesus. In other words, there is lots about this character that then points to Jesus, reminds us of Jesus. And there are certainly things about Melchizedek that can help us in our understanding and knowledge of Jesus. So, everyone with me so far? Still following through the Melchizedek? Yes? Okay. So in understanding a bit more about him, let's just now look at how things were kind of set up generally in Old Testament Israel. And of course, they didn't have kings all along, but once they had kings, you have this kind of twofold thing going on. First of all, you have the king. And the king is representing the authority of God on earth. That the king is kind of representing God to the people. God's authority on earth is being worked out through the king, through the monarchy. So when the king decrees something, then it is as if God is speaking and decreeing that. And then there is the priesthood. And the priesthood, it's kind of working the other way around. The priesthood, the priest is representing people to God. And there's this word mediation there. They are mediating between the people and God. And so sacrifices are made on behalf of the people to God. So we've got this twofold thing. One kind of top down and one bottom up. Authority of God to the people to God. Those two things, but two different functions. The king and the priest. Two different people. But Melchizedek combined both of those things. He is both king, representing the authority of God on earth, and he is priest, representing the people to God. And it says that Melchizedek, what's true for Melchizedek, he resembles Jesus. So this is how it then works with Jesus. Jesus representing the authority of God, the Son of God. And Jesus standing in the gap for us in mediation as the Son of Man. At the end of chapter 4 of Hebrews, last week's reading, the end of chapter 4 is that fantastic passage that says, my paraphrase, that Jesus isn't a priest who can't sympathize with us in our weaknesses. No, Jesus is a priest who can sympathize in every way because he walked as a man on earth. He understands what faces us and yet is able to stand in the gap for us because he did that perfectly. He walked perfectly on the earth as a child of his heavenly Father, as the Son of God. He represented the authority of God on earth. He moved in authority. But he also is able to represent us and stand in the gap for us. And because of that, we are able to be restored to being what we were always meant to be. Children of our loving Heavenly Father with nothing standing in the way of that relationship. So, back to our life questions. Am I okay? Am I okay in terms of my self-identity? Am I okay in terms of how I can relate to others or what any barriers there might be in that? Am I okay in terms of my relationship with God? Well, Jesus is the King of Righteousness. What was said about Melchizedek, most perfectly true of Jesus. And he is the one, the only one, who can bring us into right standing, kind of what righteousness means, right standing with God, and because of that, into our true identity as sons and daughters of a heavenly Father. In Jesus, we can perfectly find the answer to that question, am I okay? Are you okay? Well, in Jesus, yes, we can be. In Jesus, we can actually find our true identity. In Jesus, we can have unity with one another. And in Jesus, most importantly, we can be in right relationship with God. Jesus is the King of Righteousness. And finally, is it all going to be okay? Well, I'm not going to stand here and say that all of those problems that I put up on the screen earlier on, all of those things that face us day after day, suddenly disappear. They don't. We are called to live in this world. And we are called to live calling out, "Thy kingdom come." But we have to live here. The issue is really how we face living here. Whether we face what we have to face in panic, or whether we face it in peace. With Jesus, the King of Peace, we can face life with an inner peace. Is it all going to be okay? Ultimately, we know who represents the authority. Going back to that model. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, we know where the answer to the problems of life lie. They lie in Jesus. And sometimes we can see those things worked out even now. Some of those things we won't see worked out until the end of all things, for us or for life in general. But we can, in all of those things, face life with peace. So Melchizedek, this priest king, combining those two functions, the authority of God and mediation, standing in the gap. Jesus has done those things perfectly for us. Melchizedek pointed the way, but he pointed to Jesus, the one who can do that for us. Bring us to a place of righteousness and a place of peace. A place where we know we're okay and we can know, actually, I can have security in knowing it's going to be okay. I'm just going to ask the band if they just play some music just for a few minutes. And I'm just going to ask us to just spend a few minutes and then we'll go on into worship. But a few minutes just reflecting on those two questions and what is the answer that we have personally? Do you know you're okay? And do you know that ultimately it is going to be okay? Do we have that security in our identity? In Jesus. Do we have that security in knowing that we are in the arms of a loving Heavenly Father and in the arms of the one who has the authority ultimately? And if the answer to that is, well, we're not actually very sure right now, you can do a number of things about that. I guess you can just say, well, I hope it's all going to be okay one day and I'll leave it for now. Or we can spend some time this morning considering Jesus and where the answers to those questions can come from. And you might want to ask someone to pray for you this morning. You might just in the worship want to reach out to him afresh yourself. You might want to talk to someone where you are. You might want to go to the back, to the prayer station. It's up to you. But I just encourage you this morning that we can find the answers to those big life questions that all of us face in Jesus, our amazing Priest King. Scott. Father, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for us in Jesus. And I pray now, just in these few minutes, as we take time to reflect on where we are with you right now. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us and reveal yourself, reveal Jesus to us again this morning, that we might know him better.